to the Resilient Migrant Podcast, a podcast where African immigrants get to talk about their experiences as they assimilate to a different country. This is your host, Brenda Mure.
Hi, I have Chidi with me here. Hi, Chidi.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Good. How do you say your last name?
Iwuchukwu is spelled I-W-E-L. The spelling is I-W-U-C-H-U-K-W-U. Iwuchukwu, it means God's law.
God's law. That's interesting. Okay, good. Thanks for telling us that. I'm glad to have you as one of my guests in this podcast. I am in Toronto and you're in Edmonton. What time is that?
This is 5:25 p.m.
Okay.
So we're just settling in for supper.
Okay. And it's, we are 2 hours ahead. So I always like knowing where people are so that my listeners can know about the different time zones, different things about different cities. So I'm glad to have you because I've not had an author I've had some authors, but somebody who's written about immigration. But before we talk about that, I'd like to know about you as an individual. Where were you born, Chidi?
Thanks for having me on your program, Brenda. I feel honored to be here. So I was born in Nigeria, southeast Nigeria, in a rural community called Umuefun in Imo State. I grew up with the agrarian community, et cetera, you know, where I went to school. And here I am today talking to Brenda across the world.
So did you do all your schooling, like your lower primary, your secondary in Nigeria?
Yes, I did. I actually did my, from my lower primary to my first degree and a master's degree in Nigeria before I went to the UK to have another master's degree. Then since coming into Canada, I have come back to school to get a certificate again. So, yeah.
So you mentioned UK. It sounds like you went to the UK because of your studies. How long did you stay there?
I was in the UK for 1 year. I was in the University of Warwick. I did a Master's of Arts in International Political Economy at the University of Warwick. But UK is a country that I've all visited so many times. It's a very warm place to go at any time. So usually take holidays there and all that. So, but I was there for 1 year as a student, and after that, I went back home.
Okay, so what did you find? Because I like asking about the different experiences of immigrants in different countries. Mm-hmm. What did you like about being in the UK, and what did you find challenging being in the UK?
The best thing I like about being in the UK is that it's very close to home. So you could enter through 6 hours. Across the night, you are in Lagos. So, like, give or take, in 12 hours, you are home. You are in the village, resting, forgotten that you're here. One of the things I don't like about the UK is UK is too compact. It's too tight. The roads are small. The houses are small. it doesn't give that sense of opportunity, that sense of expansive thinking, you know, like you have when you come to Canada. Canada is bigger, Canada is younger, Canada is fresher. So it gives you that sense that there are still things to be done here, to be conquered here, right? Mm-hmm. Unlike UK, where probably almost everything that needs to be done had been done. The houses are ancient, in my opinion. I live in a house in Canada that were the first inhabitants, right? I doubt if anybody can say that. How many people can say that in the UK? You know, so I get the sense that there are more opportunities in Canada. Certainly, people are more warmer here. People are warmer here. I guess it's because we have more or less everybody being more or less an immigrant. Except what generation of immigrants are you? Are you first, second, third, or fourth, right? But that sense of multiculturalism, that sense of belonging, that sense of being welcomed is what I found different between Canada and the UK.
Okay. So, and what prompted you to move to Canada? What brought you to Canada?
It's still that sense of global opportunities for, you know, global opportunities coming in with the kids. Mm-hmm. Make sure that we are able to express ourselves, reach our full potentials and everything. I was a middle level manager in Nigeria before I left, working in a couple of banks in Nigeria. But at some time I felt that, I need to take more challenges, more international challenges and to position for the future, especially for the kids. And so we decided to come to Canada. It was a decision we made from having traveled around the world. I've been in the UK. I've traveled to Dubai. I've been in the US. And here we are in Canada. It was the spirit and a couple of African countries was that experience that made me decide to come to Canada because I believe Canada will be the next, thing in terms of, international.
Wow. You have a lot of experience traveling to different countries and even in your career. And like you said, you came to Canada looking for better opportunities. And one of the culture shocks for most people, immigrants, is you move from your own country. Like you came from Nigeria, you are a mid-level manager, you are doing okay. And sometimes people move to different countries and then there's a culture shock where you have to do some menial jobs, survival jobs. Did you have that experience at some point?
I did. And even when we were widely traveled, for business, for school, for leisure. I always say there's a difference between when you go as a tourist and when you come in to live. When you go as a tourist, you're spending like an hour, like a month, 2 months, 3 months at a go maximum, and then you're back to your country, right? So you do not experience, you cannot say you have experienced that country because you haven't really, for example, searched for job, you haven't maintained job and all that, right? So that same shock experience, that same culture shock you'll be shocked that, it doesn't get lighter because you're widely traveled, right? You, there are things you expect, obviously there are things that are different because you have seen the rest of the world. So for example, the politeness that needs to come when you're dealing with people. The idea of queuing for your turn and all that, those we're already used to, okay? The idea that you are not the biggest thing that had happened to your community, right? There are other people who are also as smart, if not smarter than you, okay? But when you come to the looking for job, looking for a place to live, keeping a job, then you begin to see that disparity in cultures. For example, time management, how people here manage their time as opposed to where you are coming from. For example, the way conversations at work, the difficult conversations at work and how it can be handled. I work as a middle level manager back home. The way I manage human resources back home and the way I manage them here as a Canadian, they're two worlds apart, right? And then talking about transition jobs. Oh yes, I worked in the bank when I left, I came here. The first bank job I got was something I did like 17, 20 years ago. But because it's something that my own philosophy about this thing is that it doesn't matter what it takes as long as it's not illegal, as long as it's not immoral, and as long as it's not unethical, I'm willing to do it to put food on the table, right? So I didn't mind taking it. But after a while, I looked at what I have done, where I'm thinking I'm going to, and I realized that banking in Canada is not for me, right? It's not for me at all. Because I've got youngsters who need my attention, and this is the time for me to be in their lives, right? And so I decided to change my focus, find a job that aligns with the stage of my family right now, and I'm so happy doing it. I work as a team lead in a disability support group home. I support business. I support people with intellectual disability. So people who are born with developmental delays, intellectual disability. I support a team. I lead a team that support people like that. And I find it very fulfilling and also gives me the time to do other things in life. Giving me opportunity to write a book, for example. I probably wouldn't have written a book if I was still working in a bank with the pressures and everything that I have to do. So more or less, I came into Canada and realized this is the second half of my life. And that's what I always tell people. You need to understand that we are in a land of opportunities. You don't close your mind to possibilities, right? When I was living in Nigeria, I didn't know I was going to be an international bestseller. Today I am, because I was open-minded and I took another opportunity. So yeah, I did transition job, and my wife and I joke about it. I worked in so many places doing customer service jobs, using my experience back home and all that. And it wasn't, and I was happy doing it because it was paying the bills, right? And that's what I encourage everybody who is coming in here. Come with that mindset to do what you have to do.
And that's very true. Most of, I also had the same experience. When we come to this country, you come sometimes thinking you'll get the same job or a better job, but sometimes you have to start somewhere. By the end of the day, you have to put food over the, on your table. And again, I don't know about you. I found that you learn a lot through those survival jobs, menial jobs. You learn the culture, you learn the people, you learn the system that way. You have to start somewhere. You spoke.
Brenda, yeah. Just to speak to that. Mm-hmm. Just a little while ago, I landed in Canada and now I'm writing a book about coming to Canada. So everybody will ask me, what do you know about settling in Canada that you're writing a book? But it was because of the experience that I had volunteering in the community, doing this transition jobs, networking with people. You gave me a different perspective about life here that even people who are here, who have been here for 20 years, cannot match some of the things I know about Canada and about living here. You'd be shocked that there are a couple of people who have been here for, I know a family who have been here for close to 25, 30 years, and they refer people who come in to me for counseling, for help with resume, and for job search. You know, if I had come in and I had gone straight to the job, and start working, I probably wouldn't have as much experience that would have resulted in this book. So you're absolutely correct on that point. You get to know the culture, you get to know the people, you get to know the nuances of the language, you get to know the ways to manage subtle racism when it comes up, and you also know when not everything is racism, when you need to step up your game.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So I will give you a chance now to talk about this book, because I was looking, I didn't read it, but I browsed on the topics and I found some topics very interesting. Like you said, it's very important for people to understand what they're coming into. Can you speak and tell us what the name of the book is?
Okay, so my book is, here it is, Coming to Canada, The Ultimate Success Guide for New Immigrants and Travelers. The book is drawn from my experience in three folds. First, my personal experience as a newcomer to Canada. Okay. Second, helping other families who are coming after we did. At the last count, I think there are about 12 families that have landed in my house since we came in. And so helping them to find their feet as they come into Canada. And third is the work I did in my community as the director of humanitarian services for the Igbo Cultural Association of Edmonton. Right. My tribal association here in Edmonton. I'm also engaged in that community. And I was the humanitarian director for close to 2 years. So the experience I've had helping people arrive, settle, and thrive is what formed this book, right? So instead of going up and talking to people individually, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do, and then they remember some, they don't remember some, I decided to articulate them in a book. And not just for my community, because of the work I've done, I also have other people from other cultures, outside African culture. I've talked with Indians, I've talked with Filipinos about the things that need to happen when you come in here. So the book I've written, Coming to Canada, The Ultimate Success Guide, is a global resource that anybody who comes in, whether you know anybody in Canada or not, you can pick, and it can speak to you like a friend. From the one. So that's why I wrote the book.
Okay. Okay. I'm very curious on some of the topics, and I will let people, my listeners, hopefully you'll tell us where to get the book. They'll go buy the book. But one of the topics in that book is parenting. From your own experience, what can you say to a parent who's planning to bring their children and their family to Canada?
So just like any parent would know, every stage of parent of the parenting journey has its own peculiar challenges, right? So I came in here with my boys. I have three boys. The oldest is 15, the second is 13, and the last is 11. So I am in that stage of the parenting journey where I'm handling teenagers. And this is I understand that this is the most challenging. As a matter of fact, a mentor of mine told me that you can never say you're a parent until you have navigated the teenage years. So here they are. They're at that stage where they feel that they know everything, right? They can speak, they can question everything that you are saying. They can ask you questions. They are starting to make that distinction between themselves and you. And you are encouraging them to be as inquisitive and as outspoken as possible. Now, so the challenge about that stage of parenting in Canada is that some of the things that you could do with them or you could do about them back home, and nobody will question you because, hey, you are the dad. You can't try those here, right? You can't try those here. I give you an example. Things like corporate punishment, for example. If you try it here, you probably have a running with the law. Okay. Now, and then the age where they are right now is the age where we have conversations like adults, like you and I are talking. So when they do things that don't make sense to me, I am trying now to sit them down and say, why do you think this is a better choice to make rather than the other part, you know, and then using life examples, using social stories, commending them, you know, and watching out for listening to their conversations and watching out for all those things that I know that could be pointers that some things are wrong. So I guess what I would say from my experience is that in Canada, you know, you're in a different culture and there is only one culture that is legal here, and that's the Canadian culture. It's not the culture of where you're coming from. It's not the culture of where you're going to. It's the legal culture is the Canadian culture. Therefore, there are things that are not acceptable, right? There are things that are most acceptable. You can't hit. You can't do corporal punishment. You can't neglect. You can't use food, for example, as a punishment. You can't use physical neglect as a punishment. There was a time my kids so lost school when we were back in Nigeria. That the threat of you probably won't go to school tomorrow, we get them to do what I ask them to do. But here in Canada, you can't use the threat of not going to school. It's a crime for you not to allow your child to go to school. You know, that's kind of nuances. Those are the things you're going to see in the parenting journey. If you don't mind, Brenda, while on the topic of parenting, if the kids are smaller, it also presents a different challenge. So sometimes you walk into the supermarket, you see the smaller kids throwing tantrums, and you see immigrant parents watching helplessly as their kids throw tantrums, you know, as their parenting skills are put on the display. So if you don't understand how to manage this kind of situation, you probably do something in the full glare of everybody that will put you into trouble. Or you swallow your pride and give in to them. Mm-hmm. Which creates a cycle. So every time you go to shopping or you go outside, they make demands, they throw tantrums knowing that you're going to cave in. So one of the things I discuss in my book is actually how to raise up well-behaved kids. And if you want to know how to raise up well-behaved kids, in not just in Canada, in the whole of North America, you better get the book.
I'm sure people will try and get the book. Thank you for talking about that, because clash of culture is a big, big thing. And I'm also African. I'm Kenyan. So, and when you were talking about food, some people in North America might not understand what that means. We were brought up in Africa. Your parents might tell you you're not getting anything. And that was it. But you can't do that here. Anything else, as we sum up this discussion about your book, you would like any newcomer to be aware of or to think about?
Yes, a couple of things actually. The first one is that it is so easy for you to trip. What I mean for trip is, let me put it this way. There are a couple of things I tell newcomers when they come to guard against jealousy, and there are five of them if you may. The first one is you are credit your police record. Okay, not even police record. The first one is your health. Because if you are not alive, if you don't guide your health well, you are the key man, you are the key man in this whole project, this Canadian project. So you need to guide your health well. Second part of guiding your health well is your mental health. We've started this conversation, we're talking about jobs, how you have to do many of them, jobs that are lower than where you're coming from. So you need to guide that mental health so that you don't think that you have made a very huge mistake or you have downgraded yourself, status, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and so the other one, the third part of that health is your physical health, right? You don't want to stuff yourself with fast food, with sugar and all that and get a stroke and become a liability to everybody around you. So that's the first one. The second part of it, is your financial health. So you are looking at things like credit card, how you manage credit card, all the credits that are being thrown at you. Yeah, you know, some of us who come from countries that don't have financial inclusion, you will think that it is easy money. So you go around collecting credit cards everywhere and then you buy it yourself somewhere. When you want to, say, pay for a house or do those kind of critical credit-driven transactions, right, that you damage your credit score because nobody told you. And coming from your reports, coming from that is going to your police report, right? So every job that you have in Canada, probably, especially the sensitive ones, will probably ask you to get a police clearance, police report. So you need to guard against that, knowing that every single thing that you did today against the law, you might think is very small, might count against you, right? If you are reported, you are arrested by police or whatever, you're convicted by police, it's going to be in their report, in their database for close to 99 years. And what it means is that every single time you require a police clearance report, you go there, it will be reported that this person is not trustworthy or this person did this, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why we need to be very, very careful. Police here may not be, I have a way of saying it, police here may not be as devilish, in quotes, in terms of relationship with blacks and immigrants, like what you have in the United States that encounters might lead to death. But the reports are stored for a long time as well, right? So you need to guard against those kind of simple things that nobody is going to talk to you about, that you might see yourself in trouble later. And that's one of the reasons you need to get this book, because those are the things I also discussed in this book, Coming to Canada, The Ultimate Success Guide for New Immigrants and Travelers. They're all in there, and you can get it on Amazon.ca, Barnes and Nobles, on my landing page, you know, at publishyourgift.com.
Okay. I'll make sure also when I end the podcast, when I'm writing my show notes, to make sure I post the link.
Okay.
So I have some personal questions for you.
Okay.
As immigrants, when we come to this country, sometimes life is stressful, jobs, parents, everything. And I like asking people, how do you cope with your own life challenges? Like, what do you do to de-stress?
Okay, so I walk a lot. I am a walking addict. So on my hand here, you will see that I wear a counter, a step counter. So I try to put in like 10,000 steps every day. I realize walking, especially when you're walking alone, gives you time to think, gives you that air of freshness. You take air. But obviously, I'm living in Alberta, and our winter can be brutal. Like right now, it's very brutal. So I mean, I probably won't be able to walk. But what I do is I do, there's a program I follow online, on YouTube about walking from home. Okay. So I practice exercise every day. This new year, I want to do walking from home so that I don't give any excuse, at least 30 minutes every day. Right. The other thing I do is I read a lot. I read, as you will imagine, I read a lot. I go to the library, hang out in the library. I volunteer. I found out that walking in the community distresses me. You know, putting heads together with people, trying to solve problems in the community is one way I like to distress. I volunteer for the Edmonton Food Bank. I volunteer for Edgemont Community League. I volunteer for the Igbo Cultural Association. I volunteer in the church. And so this thing set me to distress, you know.
Great. Busy, busy, busy man. So... I'm just curious, I know you were thinking about this interview, mm-hmm. and I like giving a chance and asking this question. Is there one question you think I should have asked you but did not?
No. Probably if you wanted to go, because the book is 10 chapters, and we probably spoke about roughly about 2 chapters in it. So the work culture, talking about transition job, and then parenting. There are other things that also relate to success in Canada, that new immigrants will come in. And one of those things I tell people is the rate of divorce among the immigrant community. So whereas the white community, let me use that word, broadly speaking, the divorce is something that is normal for them. It's not a normal thing where we're coming from. But we see that a lot of people come in here with their partners, with their wives, and they come in, and within 1 year, 6 months or something, you see those marriages packing up. And these are the things we need to speak about in our community, right? Because unfortunately, the people that get most trouble, and you know, are the kids who are involved in adult drama. Yeah. And divorce is actually seen to be an early child, adverse childhood experience, right? It's one of the things that kids just don't know how to cope, you know? And so it's something that we need to keep talking about in our community. To say there are solutions to this thing. Everybody is transitioning. It's not just you, the man. It's not just you, the woman. It's everybody, including the kids. Part of why that kind of, divorce, we're having this divorce, epidemic, as we are, is because people do not understand the cultural changes, the power structural changes that come, when we come to Canada. You were talking about culture shock. Okay. One of the culture shocks that people may not appreciate is that here, the roles in the marriages could vary, right? So rather than having one man who is there dishing out instructions every day, you now have to understand that your wife is a partner with you. So if somebody who goes out to work just like you work, comes back home, contributes to the mortgage, contributes to the finance of the house, you just can't tell the person how to leave, right? So at some point, the person will be asking you, what am I even doing here? If I'm still doing all of these, and I can't speak up, my views don't count. So I guess what I'm saying is that for men, it's important for us to understand that there will be a structural change in power, okay, between you and your wife. Yeah. Then for the female, it's to also understand that transitioning is not going to be easy for the male, and you need to work with him closely to ensure that things balance out eventually for the sake of the family, for the sake of the kids. If everybody starts throwing their weight around, before you know it, boom. And the stats among about divorce and the impact among our people is something that we need to speak up. We need to keep talking about. One last thing on this topic. I usually tell people that things like divorce, you look at it as just one consequence. So I don't want to live with this man again. So I divorce him, one consequence. But things in life is actually the third or fourth consequence of some of the actions that we've taken that actually cause more damage than the first consequence. So for example, if you look at the researches about the young boys who come in here without their dad, whose fathers are not in their lives as a result of divorce, it's been an epidemic, right? If you look at the United States where most of the men are not living with, you have a lot of single mothers training up boys. It's been a problem. The reason is that there's a way boys relate to their fathers that's different from the way boys relate to their mothers. Okay. Somebody, people can argue all over the world that it's better for kids to live in one parent home where things are peaceful. And I agree. But there's also something better is to live in a single home where both father and mother leave their selfishness at the door and build up something great, right? Build up something great. I am very particular about this because I have seen where what divorce have done in the life of people here, in the life of the boys. They get confused. Sometimes kids think that they are responsible for what is going on, and they don't understand it. And like I said, it's been described as an adverse childhood experience. And so it's something that we need to keep talking about. So we can't talk about parenting without talking about marital relationship in Canada. That's perhaps one thing I would like to add.
Powerful. Thank you for adding that so much. So Chidi, is there a place, either a social media handle, either an email that people can reach out to you if they need to?
Yeah. So my email is chidispeaks@gmail.com. So chidispeaks@gmail.com. chidispeaks@gmail.com. That's my email. And then I'm on Facebook as ChidiC Wujuku. On Facebook and on Instagram and on LinkedIn. So I'll be very happy for people to reach out to ask questions. If there's anything they feel that I can do, I'm always willing to help out.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This was a very productive discussion, getting to know much about the challenges and things people need to be aware of before they come, or even things they need. I like the word you use, the structures. You have to restructure some things when you come. So as we end, I want to give you a chance. One of the things I like promoting on this podcast is diversity of cultures, of languages. So teach us one Nigerian word or a statement.
Okay. So I will teach you how to say good morning in my language. Ibolachi.
Ibolachi.
Ibolachi. And it means good morning, or how is the morning?
Ibolachi.
Ibolachi, yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, I sit on the board of I'm the chairman, at least at this time, I have handed over, of the Igbo Language Association for my, so that we also continue to teach our children their native language. So Ibolachi, any Igbo person you see and ask Ibolachi, the person will look at you and say, I know that you have spoken to somebody.
That's good. I've known something new. So now if I meet a Nigerian, say Ibolachi. Am I saying it right?
Ibolachi, yes. And if the person is Igbo, the person will respond to you. However, if you meet a Nigerian, the first thing you need to do, without knowing where the person is coming, is how you there now? How you there is, how are you?
How you doing? Wow, okay.
How you there now? And everybody from Nigeria will answer you quickly. How you there now? It's an icebreaker.
Thank you so much, Chidi, for teaching us that. As Canada really promotes multiculturalism, and that's what you are doing by teaching us your language. I thank you so much for coming to this podcast. I've learned a lot, and hopefully and pray that the listeners will get your book to learn more about coming to Canada.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
You're welcome. Have a nice day. Bye.